All right. That's my vocal exercise. Just a long sigh.
Yep. Sounds great.
All right, are you ready?
Yep.
Welcome back to A Bitch and a Witch.
Hello. I'm Sam. Oh, sorry. we're
rusty.
We're a little rusty. I'm Chad.
I'm Sam.
it's been a minute.
Oh God, it's been forever. There's been a lot going on. Once again, we're not doing our normal format today. We'll get back to it next episode.
Potentially.
As long as it doesn't take us another 6 fucking months to record.
Yeah, ideally we will not take that long, but you never know.
There's just been a lot going on.
Yeah. Tell the folks at home.
Well, I got into my first car accident.
Yay!
So that was fun.
Dude, fucking Hoosiers are so bad at driving.
Chad, we're Hoosiers.
I know. I'm aware. I've driven a lot of other states. Most people are not quite as bad as us.
You never been in North Carolina?
Well, we drove through it. We weren't there for, like, super long, but... You think they're worse than here?
I don't know. Might be comparable, but North Carolina... I've had people get to the end of a fucking... This happens here, too, but I don't think it's happened as often. But, I've had people get all the way to the end of an on-ramp and just dead stop.
Why?
I don't fucking know!
Jesus. So, okay, I will say, I think the thing that makes it much worse here is just, like, the never-ending construction.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows what the fuck is going on with the roads, because it doesn't make any sense, and it's always happening. 465 and 69 are, like, pretty much the worst highways in Indiana in terms of always being under construction. Like, they will not stop.
A 465 is perpetually under road construction.
There is always something fucked up.
65 too, though.
65 is pretty bad. Yeah, that's true.
All of them.
Oh, pretty much all of them. That's just our life.
Our life is constant. The state flower of Indiana is a traffic cone.
Oh, God. Or a pothole.
I think what makes it worse is we are one of the absolute fucking worst when it comes to letting people merge. And that's not just me saying that.
No,
there was an actual study.
Yeah, that sounds right.
People do not want to let you fucking merge over at all.
It's not a hard concept.
For the record, my car accident was not my fault.
Mine wasn't either. My only one. You know, it was actually kind of similar. Like, well, not like the same circumstance, but it was like not that long after I got my license, kind of like you.
Yeah, and it I wasn't guess it technically fault. Wasn't my first car accident because somebody did back into me, but there was no damage and it wasn't bad.
Yeah, that doesn't count. We've all had one of those.
Yeah. I was both times I got hit, I was at a dead fucking stop.
Oh, jeez.
Got backed into, I was going to my friend Kaylee's old apartment, and the parking lot in her apartment complex.
Oh, that was fucked up. That was not a good parking lot.
A fucking lawless wasteland. And also giant fucking chuck holes everywhere.
Yeah.
But I was just sitting there in my car minding my own business. I look up in my rearview mirror and I see this other car backing up and I'm like, please don't hit me. And I'm just watching this car back up and I'm like, they're not stopping. Please don't hit me.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, God damn it. I was so pissed because I knew Dustin would be mad because somebody hit me.
Yeah. What can you do?
And then
people are just that dumb here.
Yeah. I was not the first person they had hit. Their car had dings and dents everywhere. I was just like, my car has no damage, so if you're cool, I'm cool. You can just
fuck off.
Fuck off with your life.
Yeah. But not when you got rear-ended. That was a little worse.
Oh my God. It was so traumatic. It wasn't really a bad accident. I mean, everybody walked away. Nobody had to go to the hospital.
That is good.
My car actually held up pretty well. The front of their car was fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just sitting at a fucking stoplight. Listen, okay, let me set up this scenario to you guys. I need you to have the full fucking picture. I had been awake for maybe 20 minutes. I woke up and I was like, I need a cup of coffee.
Yep.
Did not change out of my pajamas, didn't put on a bra, did not brush my hair, okay? This is straight up, nobody in this world outside of my household has seen me look as shitty as the people at my drive-thru coffee shop have, okay? So I just pull on my little knockoff Ugg boots.
There you go.
I'm wearing black leggings that have paint on them. A black long sleeve t-shirt that also has paint on it and a giant fucking hole in it. Crazy wild hair.
Yep.
Tan fake Ugg boots.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a great, great outfit.
Great. I looked spectacular. Again, no bra. And I do not have boobies in which you can just walk around with no bra on. I've got titties. Okay? I need a bra. And the coffee shop is literally no more than 10 minutes from my house. Okay. So I'm just sitting in my car at this red light, music fucking blasting because it was the morning and I needed something to wake me up.
Yeah, that's how you go.
And once again, looked up into my rearview mirror.
It's like, oh, they should be slowing down by now.
0.25 seconds before this car just absolutely fucking obliterates the back end of my car.
God.
Yeah.
What were they doing? Clearly not looking out the road.
So I heard them talking to the cop
mm-hmm.
after the accident, and he was like, first of all, I'm pretty sure they were both on drugs.
Yeah, probably.
And she was like, I don't know what happened. I was looking at my phone. She wasn't driving. And he was like, I don't really know what happened. I was like fucking with the radio. And I'm like,
great.
Cool.
Glad you two were both driving around in that state.
Yeah, they hit me so hard that my car moved an entire car length.
Yeah.
Ahead into the intersection. I had both hands on the steering wheel, fucking grabbing it, screaming my fucking lungs out.
Yeah.
My car stops moving, and I'm just, like, so fucking discombobulated.
Mm-hmm.
The radio still fucking blasting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was fun. So I'm, like, trying to fucking get my bearings. Turn down the radio, figure out where the fuck my phone just flew to.
Yeah.
And everybody, including the people who hit me, were acting like this was just, like, a completely normal thing. Like, I'm sitting there trying not to completely unravel. I'm by myself.
Right.
Just got hit. And I'm just standing there next to this dude, this fucking, he said he was a retired police officer, so obviously he had to come, like, check out what was going on. I'm just, like, standing there next to this dude texting my husband, sent him a picture of the back of the car, like, ta-da! Trying not to completely unravel, and everybody else is just acting like this is a normal part of their day.
Yeah.
I'm like, excuse me, can we just process what happened?
They have most likely been in that situation before, I would imagine.
There were two cops that responded, and the one that, like, wasn't taking the report, like, stood next to me for a minute, because he was like, we need to see if your vehicle is able to be drivable, because I got rear-ended. Yeah. And I was just like, the keys are in there. Just take it.
I don't know what's happening.
She's yours. Have her.
I'm on the verge of a breakdown.
You're lucky middle of a street. I am not, like, in the fetal position on the fucking ground right now, okay?
Yeah.
But you better believe, after they released us from the accident, I got in my car and went and got my fucking cup of coffee. In my poor busted up car.
Yeah.
And then I pulled into my driveway and started absolutely fucking sobbing. Like, just collapsed onto my steering wheel, sobbing.
Well, you made it back home at least.
Mm-hmm.
Got your coffee. That's something.
And then I'm pretty sure I went to bed for the rest of the day. Yeah. I earned it.
Yeah. That's kind of all you can do.
the absolute fucking anxiety. I have had so many panic attacks in that fucking car since that accident. Yeah. And in the rental car that we had. My anxiety about being in cars and driving is much better. I would say that I'm back at the level of anxiety about it that I was already at. Like, I've already had a lot of anxiety about cars.
Well,
I think I'm back at my base level now.
That's fair. Living in Indiana, you just never know when somebody's going to blast into you for no reason.
Well, and then the other problem, I don't know if this is a problem elsewhere, but people don't slow to a stop.
Oh, no.
Like, the amount of times that I've looked up in my rearview mirror and saw somebody that looked like they were about to fucking rear in me could pay for the therapy that I so obviously fucking need.
In their mind, they're like, it's gonna turn green.
I fucking guess.
Everybody's gonna start moving.
Even if it does turn green and I start moving, my car's not going from 0 to 60.
Yeah, exactly. You have to pick up speed.
Like,
yeah,
Jesus, that's, fuck, you guys.
They're not ready to stop. They want to keep. They want to keep going.
And then I had to borrow Chad's car and immediately got pulled over.
Oh, yeah.
So like, that was nice.
I was like, what the hell, Sam? You've had it for 10 minutes.
It's your fault.
How is it my fault?
Because I told Chad I would put gas in his car because that's what you do when you borrow somebody's car.
Mm-hmm.
Not realizing that his fucking gas light was on. So I was like, I'm going to pick up Chad's car.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go home and I'm going to get gas tomorrow. I couldn't do that. I immediately had to go to the gas station. So had I been able to go home immediately, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have gotten pulled over.
Maybe.
Also, the reason why the cop pulled me over was fucking bullshit anyway.
It was.
It was dusk. Okay, I could see. I didn't even know that the fucking headlights were off, but apparently the headlights were off.
To be fair, that was when I was working fully remote. And, yeah, I very rarely drove anywhere, so I just was like, my gas light's on, but who cares? I don't need to go anywhere. So, that's why that happened.
Well, and also, he was like, well, I gotta go get gas. And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. Like, I'm gonna put gas in your car anyway.
True.
Again, was not expecting the fucking gas light to be on. Not even that it was on empty. The fucking light was on, Chad!
I live on the edge sometimes, all right? I don't do that very often. I usually fill it up before it gets to that point. But yeah, that was just one of those weeks, I guess.
I drove past that cop and then saw the car move. And I was like, he's pulling me over. Fucking why? And then, sure thing, he pulls up behind me and turns on his fucking lights.
Yep.
And he was like, your headlights aren't on. And I was like, oh. Okay.
This isn't my car. I don't even know how to turn on the lights.
I was like, I'm sorry, this isn't my car. My headlights turn on automatically. Yours were set on to turn on automatically too. So obviously your car did not think it was dark enough for your headlights to go on.
Yeah. I don't usually use that setting. I wonder why it was on that. Weird.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I'm remembering
it. I don't know. I might have. I don't know.
But yeah, I was like, I didn't realize my headlights weren't on. This isn't my car. And then he asked me for the registration, and I was like, this isn't my car? Like, I'm sure he has it in here, but I'm not fitting to dig around in a car and get shot by you. And he was like, yeah, all right, whatever.
So that was how April went for you.
I spent the rest of April driving a rental that was nice, but also I hated.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's just weird driving a different car than you're used to.
It's just, it had like a lot of safety settings and I fucking hated them.
Yeah.
Like the fucking, I don't know what it's called. I just kept calling it the stay in your lane feature. And especially like here, because it goes by like the lines on the road.
Oh, those aren't ever right. Because of all the construction.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and then it, like, very subtly moves your wheel.
Right.
Because it's trying to correct to get you in the lane.
Yeah.
And I'm like, absolutely stop. And then also, if you were, like, idling for too long, it
turns
powered
off.
Down.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
When you've just recently been rear-ended and you have a lot of anxiety about once again getting rear-ended, trying to go and your engine basically having to restart right. while somebody is hurling towards you, yeah. that's not fun.
Yeah.
I did eventually learn how to turn those settings off, though.
That's good.
But yeah, that was fucking ridiculous. I hated it.
Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about newer cars, like after a certain point, they all have rear or whatever backup cameras. Because mm-hmm. that's just like a safety feature that they somebody whoever decided has to be there.
I love it. I love
even just that. Cam. I know it makes a big difference. And then there's like other stuff like that that's kind of standard at this point.
Another thing that car had that my car does not that I loved was the little lights on your side mirrors.
Yeah.
That turn on so you know if somebody's in your blind spot, like yeah. if you can't see them.
Yeah, love right.
that feature.
Like there's a bunch of stuff. Like I bought a car used, but it was, I think it's like a 2018, which is way, way newer than any car I've ever had.
Yeah.
And all that stuff that's just kind of like standard now. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. It's not like a super nice, like fancy car, but the upgrade just in those types of features makes it feel like so much different than my older cars that I had had.
Driving your car really solidified the fact that I absolutely hate driving sedans.
Emily does too. She likes to be higher up.
Same.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, I don't care that much. It doesn't bother me, but...
I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. I was like, I can't wait to give Chad his car back.
You're welcome.
But I do appreciate you letting me park. I just don't like cars. I'm an SUV bitch.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm very thankful that that's what they gave us at the rental place. They give you something that's like comparable to your car.
Yeah.
So we had an SUV.
You know what I realized recently? This is a long story, but I'll try to simplify it a little bit. So Emily and I went to Greece for her 30th birthday.
You went on Greece?
I went on Greece. That sounds...
How do you go on to an entire country?
I don't know, but apparently I did. it was like a bucket list place for her, so we wanted to do something exciting for her 30th, because that's, you know, you gotta distract yourself from the depressing reality that you're getting old.
I mean... My 30th birthday occurred right at the beginning of a pandemic, so. It's been a depressing reality of my 30s.
So, the bad timing of it was that we had already planned on going to Riot Fest, which got delayed again because of the pandemic, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the way the dates fell, we went directly from Greece to Chicago to go to this festival. And we were... just not having it. It was at that point that we also realized we were too old for festivals. So, like, my skin was all broken out from the sun and the nature that we were standing in, and both of our feet were, like, completely swollen. My feet were bruised. And I'm sure probably some of that was from going directly after, like, the plane.
Yeah.
Like, it was the next day, but it was not clearly enough time for our bodies to recover from that long flight.
It's like you need some compression socks, Chad.
Emily has some. I've never really had that problem, but I think it was that, and then we went to this festival where we were, like, largely standing in one place for hours and hours. I think that just something broke in my body. But anyways, so we had originally planned on going the whole weekend, and after that first day, we were like, nah, we need to go home. So that made me realize how shitty the hours are for rental car places. Like, mm-hmm. they are only open on Saturdays until, like, noon. Mm-hmm. And then they're not even open at all on Sundays. Apparently, it's just, like, almost impossible to find an available car, like, the day of. Because we were like, how do we get out of here? So we were trying to rent a car and, like, all this other stuff. I looked at, like, a bunch of different places and couldn't find any cars. And not, like, the hours were so bad that, like, we wouldn't have really even made it to one of those places in time. So that was fun.
Chad texted me to see if I could come up to Chicago and get them, but I was sleeping.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I'm desperate enough to, like, pay one of my friends. Luckily, Emily's brother didn't have a whole lot going on, and he was willing to come get us.
Had I seen that text message before you guys contacted Emily's brother,
yeah,
I would have been like, yeah, sure.
I figured you would do it if you weren't in the middle of something, but it was just...
I've got 8 hours to kill. It's fine.
We just felt, like, so awful that we, like, needed to get out of there. kind of following a similar trajectory of Sam's year going to shit. My boss quit in, like, March or something. I think it was, like, towards the end of March. And then pretty much immediately after that, my job went to shit because they had this other guy kind of stepping in as the interim manager, and he was a complete idiot and rude and everything. And then they just kind of decided to do, like, a whole restructure situation. And it just continuously got worse and worse and worse and all this stuff. So, yeah, I was not doing well at that place. Tried not to let it affect me too much, but it wasn't great. And then, luckily, I did start a new job in August, actually with the boss that left. So, I like him a lot. We work together pretty well, and it's going well.
That's good.
Yeah, so I did go to New Orleans for my birthday, though. That was fun. Got to experience that. It's a weird city. Like, it's very different.
I would love to go to New Orleans.
I liked it, aside from, like, nearly dying from heat stroke.
I told you.
Which I knew it was going to be like that, but some days were worse than others. And, like, we went to tour the graveyard where Marie Laveau was buried. Mm-hmm. And that day, it was, like, towards the end of the journey. So I think I was also just, like, tired and probably slightly dehydrated from the whole trip in general. Mm-hmm. But that day was, like, hot as fuck. And then, like, there's really not a whole lot of shade in those graveyards just because of the way they're set up. So we're just, like, walking around in the sun. And, yeah, it was rough. By the time we were done, like, I couldn't walk back to our hotel. We had to, like, keep stopping and, like, going inside and trying to cool off. And then, like, wiping the layers of sweat off of our backs and things. It was just like, I don't know how people live here.
I could never.
They kind of like base their days around that, though. Like, it gets very, very slow from like 11 until like probably 4. Mm-hmm. People just like don't go outside if they don't have to.
I'm sure.
Which is kind of what we started doing. We just like would take naps or like swim at the pool at the hotel, things like that. And then go back out once it started cooling off a little bit and staying out late. But yeah, it's a cool city. I would recommend checking it out if you ever get a chance.
One day I'll go.
Yeah.
In the colder months.
I would after definitely
hurricane season.
Definitely not go in July like I did. It was not the greatest idea, but I have wanted to go there for a while, and I was like, oh, whatever. I'll deal with the heat. I knew what I was getting into.
You will not catch my ass in the deep south in the summer. Absolutely not. Indiana is too much for me in the summer.
Truthfully, it wasn't that much hotter than Indiana. Like, it gets humid as fuck here and hot.
I don't leave my house in the summertime.
Yeah, I've realized I don't either. So I spent a whole lot of time outside the summer between our different trips and things like that. And I was like, I'm just, like, real sick of being hot all the time.
I really only leave my house from, like, mid-March to maybe the end of June.
Yeah.
And then maybe September, depending on what the September is like.
Yeah. September is sometimes nice and sometimes it's just shitty still.
To about December.
Yeah.
But once winter starts really ramping up, once again, will not be leaving my house. It's too cold.
Yeah. I don't like the cold either.
January and February, it gets fucking cold.
It does.
March is hit or miss.
I'm just glad we got an actual fall this year.
Yeah.
Some years it's only like a week or 2 weeks, and I'm not cool with that. Other than that, it's pretty much the usual.
Same old, same old.
Yeah. I finally got a library card, and then if you didn't know this, if you get a library card, typically speaking, they have deals with like Libby and other things where you can get audiobooks and ebooks on your phone. Mm-hmm. So I finally set that up, which is actually pretty cool. Trying to like read things before buying them for once. I think me, you, and Kaylee all have that issue of just like buying a ton of books constantly all the time.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So I've tried to like curve that a little bit.
Yeah, I know like some people that I follow online will read a book,
mm-hmm.
like borrow it from the library or get the audiobook from like Libby or something.
Yeah.
And if they like it, then they'll buy it.
Yeah. It's logical. Mm-hmm. But we'll see if I can get myself to actually do that.
I won't. I will not be doing that. I have been thinking about getting a library card for one, just to like borrow books from the library, so I'm just not constantly spending money on books.
Yeah.
And also so I have a place of refuge to go hide in silence.
I will say the physical location that we went to, it's one of the IPL libraries. Mm-hmm. Their selection really isn't very good, like in the library. But oh well, like we could go to a different one if we really wanted to.
I need a place to be able to work in silence. Yeah. I don't have that place.
No, you don't have that place. Libraries are cool. Like, they have way more resources than people realize.
I used to go to libraries all the time.
Yeah. Go check them out. Some of them will have, like, tools that you can rent if you need to, like, do something around your house.
Oh, nice.
Some of them have, like, video games. Like, if you have a Switch or whatever, a PlayStation, anything. Some of them have, like, games you can rent. It's pretty cool. Printers. Somebody was just asking me if I was home so he could come use my printer. I was like, I'm not home, but libraries usually have printers you can use for a pretty reasonable price, like 10 cents or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
It used to be like 10 cents a page.
Yeah, something like that. So go check out your library if you have not done that. It's a good resource. I guess we should like talk about the thing that we're talking about today now.
I mean, we knew that this was going to be like a catch-up kind of episode, so we didn't like really have a subject to talk about.
Sort of. I didn't look up any like actual articles or anything, but I watched a couple videos and I got a friend to give me some input, which I thought might be something interesting to do.
I just think it's like the most ridiculous fucking thing that boomers have come up with, because you know it was the fucking boomers. You know
it's gotta be the boomers.
So anyway, what we're talking about is quiet quitting.
Mm-hmm.
It's so stupid.
It's not a real thing.
It's not a real thing. Like, they probably just labeled it quiet quitting,
mm-hmm,
because they knew that it would spark some sort of outrage, like, ugh.
Well, they just...
These lazy, entitled, younger generation.
Right. They just wanted another way to demonize us and somehow blame all the problems that they created with the economy and everything on us, as usual. One of the interesting things I notice is that the definition or phrasing of how people will explain it is a lot different if you're getting it from, like, a boomer type of person. Or if you're getting it from, like, somebody our age.
So this is what I have as a definition. Quiet quitting is an application of work to role in which employees work within defined work hours and engage in work-related activities solely within those hours. It has absolutely nothing to do with quitting. It's just doing your job and not letting your employer exploit the fuck out of you.
Exploit you.
Don't let your employers exploit you.
Not for free, though. Yeah, so, like, that was something I know. I watched, like, a handful of videos. One of them was from, like, CNN or some bullshit like that. And they were like, it's where somebody in the workforce is disengaged with their job because they only work the scheduled hours, they don't respond to messages after their shift ends, and they don't do, like, any whatever, you know, like, work outings, like social events sponsored by your work. It's like, that's not a thing. That just means they got hired for a job and they did the job. And then
it means that they are contracted to work.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's say you work 9 to 6. You have like an hour lunch, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you work, you clock in, you start working at 9.
Mm-hmm.
And you work until 6. And then you're done.
Right.
You don't answer messages. You log off of your computer immediately or, you know, just quit whatever the fuck it is you're doing.
Yeah.
And you don't work.
After those hours. Yeah.
After those hours.
Which is fine. That's what you were hired to do.
Basically what it is people trying to get a better work-life balance.
Right.
Which is important because, you know, here in the U.S., we're really fucking bad about our jobs are our lives.
Yeah.
And our family, our well-being, both mental and physical, everything else just gets pushed to the wayside because we live in a fucking capitalist hellscape where we are warm bodies to make money for corporations.
If you're not being productive, you are...
You got time to leave. You got time to clean, Chad.
If you're not being productive, you are wasting your time.
Yeah. And it is so fucking wild to me that there are people who have a problem with this because, well, I always worked late. I always clocked in early. Well, fucking good for you.
I'm really glad, like, this whole work reform movement is happening over the last few years because hustle culture is such bullshit.
It is such bullshit.
And it's not how we are hardwired to live. And you're just, like, burning out constantly your whole life. And then you die.
Oh, like, my fucking God.
Like, what's the point of that? That's not good for us. It's not good. I mean, it's good for the economy, but who fucking cares? Like, the point of our life is not to, like, make some rich asshole money. It's a transaction, like you were saying earlier. Like, we work to get something useful to us, which is money. Ideally, enough money to, like, live a decent life.
LOL.
Yeah. That's getting a little harder these days, but that's the idea. And then when we're not working, we're supposed to, have fun, relax, sleep, play with our animals, hang out with, you know, our kids or our nephews or whatever. Like, there's so many things we are just, like, not doing anymore because everybody thinks you have to constantly be making money. You have to have a job. You have to have a side hustle. You have to work two jobs. Like, no, I don't want to fucking do that.
I mean, there's so many reasons why we're like this, but, you know, since we have a capitalist economy.
Mm-hmm. With really no regulations.
Yeah. Like,
you can say that we have regulations, but we really don't. You know, the other thing that I was reading a lot about is how at one point in time, it's hard for me to imagine because I feel like it's been this other way my whole life. But at one point in time, companies had long-term plans. They understood that you could maybe not make necessarily a huge profit this year, but you're building things up internally to where next year, hey, look, we're making a healthy profit.
Yeah.
Companies don't operate like that anymore.
No.
They don't care about long-term. They don't care about their people. They care about profit year over year, month over month.
It's always profits over people.
Endlessly profiting. Like, that's not how companies should actually operate because it's not sustainable.
Once again, I say it all the fucking time, but your fucking economy should not be structured and your tax brackets should not be structured in such a way that there are people that can hoard so much wealth that they have billions of dollars.
Yeah. It's pretty fucked.
While there are people sleeping in the streets.
Yeah.
People who can't afford groceries. People just can't live.
And their goal, apparently, is to just put us into, like, serfdom where we are, like... Have you heard about... I think we talked about this on one of the other episodes at some point, but, like, companies like Google and some of those other, like, ultra-huge companies, they're, like, wanting to make it so that you live in a house owned by the company.
Oh, so basically, like, factory housing.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You can go anywhere in middle America, especially,
yeah,
and you will find a town that was built around a factory.
Or a mine, or...
Or a mine or something.
Yeah.
A mill.
Mm-hmm.
The factories came in. It was... not quite indentured servitude.
Might as well be.
The factory came in, built the factory. Hello, jobs for everybody.
Right.
Built houses. You bought your house from the factory.
Mm-hmm.
Some places, like, I think in West Virginia for, like, the coal mines.
Yeah.
They would even give you, like, vouchers for groceries.
For food, yeah.
But basically all of your money is just going back into the company.
Mm-hmm. In other words, if you don't break your back making money for this company constantly, guess what? You're just totally screwed because
and then
they can take your house, they can take your money for your food. Yeah. No way you have savings because they don't pay you that much.
The other shitty thing about that, like, the whole fucking thing is shitty, but if that factory leaves, that town dies.
Yep. The worst thing about that is that people get so mad when, I mean, it's usually Democrats, let's be honest, but when whoever gets in power and then is like, hey, factory, you are, like, shitting on the environment, or, like, you're doing all this blatantly illegal stuff, you're going to have to just, like, stop. And then people get mad at the government instead of the company that's been screwing them over. That's the worst part for me, is that we're so brainwashed at this point that we think things like hustle culture is normal. We think these huge companies, like, owning every aspect of our lives is normal. That's not fucking normal.
The shitty thing is we allow companies to regulate themselves so much.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how shit like DuPont happens.
Yep.
Where they had chemicals leaching into groundwater.
Yeah.
And fucking killing people.
Like, oh, yeah, we reviewed this. It's fine.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
There's no issue. Okay.
A ton of people around the factory are getting cancer? Weird.
That's such a coincidence.
How bizarre. We wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, that's kind of, in a way, what's happening here. Because they keep building up all these Amazon warehouses.
Right.
And all these fucking investors keep coming in and buying houses and flipping them for ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
That's the new way they're doing it.
They are also...
That is the new way of the factory town.
They are also buying all the houses and making it so that actual people can't buy houses. So that's...
I've just come to terms with the fact that I'm going to be a lifelong renter.
So stupid, man. I know. You can't get a house, even though there's really no reason you shouldn't be able to. That's just the way our country works, so...
The older I get, the more and more... of a communist I fucking become.
Yeah. Like, we're all so brainwashed that people think, like, the standard European country is communist because they have things like healthcare and education. They provided...
Well, also because of propaganda.
Yeah.
A lot of people view socialism and communism as bad things.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily bad things.
No.
It's dictators... That make them bad things.
Right.
But if you have a democratic government...
Guess what? People have a safety net. Why is that so bad?
Yeah.
Why is it so bad that we're trying to, like, provide free lunch to kids in elementary school? Like, what the fuck is the problem with that?
Why do people get so fucking pressed about kids having free lunch?
I really couldn't tell you.
I don't think there is a single fucking child that should have to pay for fucking lunch at school.
Like,
you are at school during lunch. Yeah. They should give you fucking lunch.
Yeah.
And it's also for some kids, you know, that live in poverty, that lunch is the only fucking meal they get.
Right. Like, they've made us so poor that we can't always feed our children. And yet, they won't let the government feed the kids either. So it's just like,
and
what?
And then, you know, the Republicans mostly want to gut things like food stamps and then want to shame you for being on food stamps. And it's like,
yeah,
but I can't afford food.
Right.
You won't make companies pay me enough money to where I can afford to put clothes on my back and send my kid to school.
Right.
Have a roof over my fucking head. And you think I can fucking afford groceries? Like, what the hell?
Something doesn't add up here.
The math ain't fucking mathin', y'all.
Nope. I think it was Chris Rock, but he was like, yeah, minimum wage really just means that if your company legally was allowed to pay you less, they would.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So it's like, yeah. That's something else I was going to say. Like, it so rarely has been worth it in my, whatever, 10 years of working serious jobs. To go above and beyond, because you know what I've gotten? A whole lot of dick.
Yeah.
They don't care. They don't care what you're doing unless, I don't know, unless you're, like, somehow so bad at your job that you're costing them money.
Mm-hmm.
All they want is for you to just keep doing more and keep doing more. And eventually, you should get a promotion or a good raise or something in a way of, like, hey, you deserve this. I want to keep you as my employee. But what actually happens is none of that. I think the thing that really broke me is, like, working at Tangle, which I know I've talked about before. I was there close to 3 years. I was extremely good. I was one of the best performers on my entire team. I was passed up for promotions multiple times. I actually didn't get a raise the entire time I was there. And they kept blaming it on, oh, it's just the way the fiscal year ends for the company. It's like, you started it this month. Their fiscal year ends this month. You're not eligible for a review, which means you can't get a raise. Not only that, and then the pandemic happened, and they forecasted. We don't know where they got this information, because it sure as hell didn't seem slower to me. But they forecasted business loss, so they cut our pay 10%.
I think everybody expected business loss. Like, nobody expected everything to be fine the way it was.
And it was bad for certain.
I mean, you're starting to see, like, the fallout from all of that.
Yeah. And it was bad for certain industries. Like, concerts, obviously, can't do that.
Sure.
Like, the food industry took a lot of hits. I understand that. But it's like, the thing I was doing at this company was not affected at all.
Yeah.
We were as busy as we ever were. Yeah. Actually, we were busier because... Not only did they cut our pay, they offered, like, a severance thing if anybody wanted to quit. Mm-hmm. And, like, they would give them whatever 3 months of their pay if they quit. So then we were, like, even worse overworked.
Yeah.
And for a while I was, like, working on my lunch. I was working extra hours and blah, blah, blah. And, like,
I will absolutely never be doing that again in my entire life.
That was the thing that was, like, all right, these companies really just don't give a fuck. They do not give a fuck about you. Mm-mm. Do not give them anything more than the absolute minimum of what you need to do for your job.
I have worked 12-hour shifts without taking a single break. Not even a fucking 15-minute break.
Nope. No way.
I will not be doing that again.
Nope.
I do not ever engage with anybody on my lunch break.
Yeah.
If at all possible, I actually leave the building.
Yeah. I've started doing that. Just, like, I don't always leave the building, but I, like, walk away from my desk, because if I'm at my desk, somebody's going to start talking to me.
Yep.
And I know they probably don't realize I'm on lunch, but, like, I'm not dealing with that anymore.
I would eat my lunch at my desk and keep working.
Yeah, no. Fuck that. These companies don't care. They're not going to reward you for doing that. So what also happens, I was talking about this too with one of my friends, you either get shafted over promotions and things like that, like I did, or this also happened to me, you become too valuable that they will not let you move up, because if they do, there's a huge gap in the workload that they can't cover because they're not hiring people, or they're not training people, or they're not paying people. So nobody is around to do the work that you're doing.
Because you do the work of three people.
Because you do the work of three people and they will not let you move up. That is also part of what happened to me at Tango, I think. I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that was part of it. So, yeah. Don't go out of your way for these companies. It's not worth it. You're not a bad employee because you're not, you know, willing to talk to your boss after your shift. That's fine.
I once got a text. This was when I was working at the flower shop. It was my day off. I was, like, out and about, and I got a text message from my boss. Apparently there had been some fucking drama. I don't know exactly what happened.
Uh-huh.
But it was over somebody's wages. So I got a text message.
Oh, great.
Saying something along the lines of, don't discuss your wages. Because you know how companies do that.
They can't fucking tell you to do that.
Yeah.
They try.
Yeah. And I was like, first of all, I don't do that. What other people make, not my fucking business. What I make, not anybody's fucking business.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I'm not at work right now. If you have something you need to discuss with me, you can wait until I'm on the fucking clock.
Right.
Which is just, like, a bullshit way of companies shafting some of their employees in their pay by telling you that you can't discuss your wages, which you can.
It is, because that's one tool that people use to make sure their pay is fair.
Yep.
Hey, you're doing essentially the same job as me. This is what I'm being paid. What are you being paid?
Mm-hmm.
And, those should be fairly similar numbers. But they're not. And often what will happen is people will... a company will start out and kind of get themselves into a mess because they're growing too fast. Because, again, if you're not infinitely growing, then you're failing. And then they will start hiring people at a higher rate because that's the only way they can get people in. And then the original people who are training the new people and have the experience and have been there since the beginning are basically getting shafted because because they're not making as much as this brand new person who's going to be worthless for a few months. So that's a fun thing that happens a lot. And that's why they don't want you to discuss, because they don't want you to realize, oh, hey, I need you to do your normal job and also train this new person. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They're making more than you. They don't want you to know that.
When I worked at Babies R Us, I actually was up for a promotion. Mm-hmm. Because I was part-time, I was up for a promotion to a full-time job, even though I already worked full-time hours, but I was technically part-time.
Yeah.
You know, they like to keep you just under the full-time hours so they don't have to give you benefits. Things like health insurance.
Yeah.
You know, crazy things that you couldn't possibly use. I did not get it. They hired somebody from outside the company.
Oh, great.
And then told me that I had to train them. Because I was the only one in the building who knew how to do that job.
Yeah.
Because the other person, like the actual person who did it, got fired. Uh-huh. But I was like their backup on their days off.
Gotcha.
And I was like, no.
Yeah, you could have just hired me for this, but you decided not to, so.
My boss tried to be like, well, it's your responsibility as a senior employee. And I was like, I know that I have seniority because I have been with this company for a while, mm-hmm. but, I'm a part-time employee.
Yeah.
I started off making $8 an hour.
Jesus.
I worked for that company for almost 8 years. Mm-hmm. I left making $8.80.
God.
Oh, no. It wasn't 8 years. It was 6 years.
Mm. It doesn't really make it better.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make it any fucking better. I'm a part-time employee making less than $9 an hour. And you want me to train a full-time employee who sure as fuck makes more money than I do?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
If you guys can't figure out how to train them on your own, that's kind of a you problem.
Yeah. If you don't know how to do that job, if I am the only one in this building who knows how to do that job, why the fuck am I not doing that job?
Gee, maybe you should have promoted me. Yeah. Yeah.
And then they did it again.
Oh my God.
Because that guy quit. Because he saw the way they were treating me.
Yeah.
And he was like, absolutely not.
Yeah, not a great company. Let's just kind of move on.
And they, like, eliminated some positions, and one of the women whose position got eliminated, it was, like, a corporate position. We had, like, a little corporate office in our building. Uh-huh. They gave that to her because they eliminated her position. And I was like, I'm not training her. I had a different store manager at the time, and she was like, yeah, I'm not going to make you do that. And I was like, good. But this bitch kept trying to ask me questions, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, we were literally sitting at the same desk.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I just can't figure out how to do this. Saying shit like that, trying to get me to help her. Yeah, and I'm like,
yeah, I know what you're doing.
I'm like, man, that really sucks. And then I just got up and walked away.
That must be hard.
I was like, I'm absolutely not helping you. No, you guys can all get fucked.
So going back to company events outside of work hours, the other shitty thing is that often they won't pay for you to, like, be there. So it's like a Christmas party type of situation. They won't provide you, like, drinks or food. It's like, all right, so why would I go to that? I'm not going to this work event for fun because, like, it's probably not going to be fun. You go to work events because they give you, like, a Christmas card or they, like, pay for your meal, some shit like that. So then to be mad at people for not doing that kind of stuff anymore because we all know it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not a thing. You can't. You can't obligate somebody to do an event outside of work hours for no pay. Like, that's not a thing.
Not a thing that you're going to make them pay for.
Yeah, absolutely exactly. Absolutely not. My friend's input. All right, so, yeah, I just kind of asked him in general, do you have any thoughts on quiet quitting? And this is what he said, which I think we probably talked a lot about this already, but I'll just read his response. Shout out, Brandon. He said, quiet quitting is the most overblown workplace trend I've personally seen. People who are trapped by the hustle culture mindset make it out to be doing nothing and just asking to get fired, but that's not the case. Quiet quitting is all about setting boundaries. It's about saying, this is what you pay me for, so this is what you're getting. Which is completely fair and rational, because at the end of the day, employment's just another business transaction. People don't tend to get upset when they pay for their groceries and the store doesn't throw in a bunch of freebies on the house. So why can employers, in turn, get angry when their employees don't do the same? This is especially true for salary workers. Whether you put in 40 or 60 hours, you only get paid for the 40. There is no compensation for extra services performed. By contrast, there's another trend that's going on where people make quiet quitting basically something it's not, which would be the let it rot, which is especially gaining traction in China right now. That one is literally just letting things go to hell until you either quit or get fired. That trend, in my view, is akin to union strikes, sans labor organization, and if a job drives someone to that point, then there's got to be something wrong. Mm-hmm. I was going to say that too. Like, they're trying to make quiet quitting into this thing where you're not actually doing your job, which is something completely different.
Yeah.
More of like the let it rot thing that he's talking about, where you're so like over it that you kind of just sit there and don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. Been there too. Which is not, they're trying to like fuse it all together because they, again, I think they want to like demonize us.
Absolutely, for sure.
So they're like, oh, you're not doing all this extra shit, you're quiet quitting, you're just costing this company money and time, and you should be fired, and you're
just doing my fucking job.
Yeah, I'm doing my job. There's not an issue here.
I am working the hours that I was contracted to work.
Yep. I've been there, done that with the grind and hustle. It is not worth it. I'm not saying I'm going to do a bad job, because I'm not. I'm going to do a good job because I'm a hard worker. But I'm not going to like do all this extra shit that I'm not getting paid for. I'm not going to pretend that me doing all these favors for the company is somehow going to pay off in the long run, because it's not.
Yeah.
It's just not going to. Corporations don't give a fuck about us.
No.
I've realized that by now. So, yeah.
Yeah. They really... My burnout has gotten so bad to the point where I have left a job that has burned me out
mm-hmm.
for a new job that I was immediately burned out of for no reason.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I was just burned out fucking badly.
Yeah,
I never
recovered from the first time. It's pretty ass.
It is pretty ass.
My company now is like a small, they're basically like a startup company. They're only like 3 years old at this point. So they do treat people really well. I'm just hoping that it doesn't all go to shit in a few years. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the trend with me. The place seems great when I first start. And then it goes to hell. So I don't know. I don't anticipate it going that way, but you never know. It's happened plenty of times before. So I'm just keeping my expectations real. I'll do the job they pay me for. I'll do it to the best of my ability, but I'm not giving you all this extra stuff. I'm just not going to do it.
I would love to find a job that I actually care about. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but a bitch can dream.
I was theorizing, too. Like, I think it's kind of being driven by, like, middle managers. Have you seen Office Space?
It's been a long time.
So there's, like, this whole thing where these guys come in from corporate, just like, what is everybody doing? And some of them, like, the middle manager is like, he can't give a justification for why he's there. Mm-hmm. So it's like these people who really don't do anything. They just kind of, like, waste time. They like have all these meetings, they talk about productivity, they micromanage, because their only way to like try to make a company think that they're valuable is to like cut costs and stuff like that.
You mean like Mark?
Yes, exactly like Mark. So they've come up with this term, quiet quitting, where they're monitoring everybody and, oh, this person didn't go to this company party.
Oh my God, can we just talk about how tight companies monitor some of their fucking employees now?
It's fucking ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, we all know Amazon is fucking notorious for this shit.
Yeah, not letting people go to the bathroom.
The first job I had with Amazon, I was a picker. Mm-hmm. So I worked in one of their FCs, picking items for people's orders, sending them to pack so they could be packed and shipped to you motherfuckers. And if you were shown through the fucking computer system that you had not scanned an item for like 15, 20 minutes, they're like, what were you doing? Where were you? I literally had a manager try to fucking write me up for that shit once. He was like, it shows that you weren't doing anything during this entire time. And I was like, actually, I was fucking doing something. Mm-hmm. You knew what the fuck I was doing. Yeah. I talked to you about it.
Yeah.
And I am not fucking signing this.
No.
And it is not going in my personnel file. You can get fucked.
They will. They will find any little way to screw their people over.
I also got fucking interrogated multiple times when I got hurt on the job there.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to find a way to pin it on me.
Yep.
So to fire me.
So that they can fire you, so they don't have to pay workers' comp.
Exactly.
Something's going to have to give here. Let's wrap it up. Any witch tips? What have you been watching? Have you watched Dahmer yet?
No.
I just started it. Well, I'm like halfway through it, I think.
But I wasn't really going to watch it anyway, but then
yeah,
it got released and a bunch of like family members of the victims were like speaking out against it because yeah, it was released without their permission and
right,
it's just really like re-traumatizing people. And I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to watch it.
I get it. That's why I held off for a while too. And then I was just like, I don't know. It sucks that it's Evan Peters because he's just like so freaking likable.
Yeah.
And he's really, really good in it. Like possibly the best acting he's ever done.
Can we just talk about how creepy people have been about Dahmer though?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. If you look at like real, like obviously Evan Peters was hot. He looks pretty good even dressed as Jeffrey Dahmer. But the real person, Jeffrey Dahmer, is not attractive.
Yeah, no.
So like, I don't get it. Why are people obsessing over? I mean, this happens pretty much with every serial killer. But like, why? I don't
get it. You guys are gross.
You guys are, you need help.
I mean,
it's not right. You should not be falling in love with these people.
Yeah.
They will kill you. Most of them will eat you. Like, what do you think is going to happen in this situation? And Jeffrey Dahmer was gay. Like, all these ladies, like, you're not his type.
I mean, if you're an adult, you're not really his type.
That too. Yeah.
Ugh, it's gross.
It is disgusting. Like, come on. What? I don't get it. But it happens every time. Like, ugh. Yeah, I don't know.
I still don't understand people. Like, I guess Ted Bundy was, like, conventionally attractive.
It's better than Dahmer.
But you look this motherfucker in the eyes and you can see the crazy.
Yeah, he's got no soul.
Yeah.
He's fucked.
He's evil.
You can see it in his eyes, like you said.
He will murder you.
Yeah.
Okay?
He'll do some pretty awful things to your body, too. So yeah, it's like, What do you think?
Quit lusting after serial killers, you guys.
There's plenty of...
What the fuck is wrong with you?
There's billions of people on this planet. Billions!
Lust after Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sake.
Could just be like the rest of us.
Just be like the rest of us. Simp for Henry Cavill, okay?
Especially Henry.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. I appreciate him. We need more nerds who look like that. Anyways, aside from Dahmer, I've been watching just all the scary movies. Barbarian is really good. I think they just put it on HBO. So if you guys haven't seen that, check it out. It's a pretty good one. Pretty wacky. I saw Pearl, which I liked a lot. It's a sequel to X. But so obviously you would want to see... Well, actually, it's a prequel. But they like filmed it back to back. And technically, it came out second. So I said sequel, which was not accurate. But those movies are both pretty good. What else? I watched the original Hellraiser. That holds up really well. I've been watching all sorts of stuff.
Speaking of HBO, broke down and watched House of the Dragon.
I was waiting until it was all the way out because I didn't want to watch it week by week.
It's fine.
Okay.
It got really good towards the end of the season. It's just, okay. They could have done it better.
Yeah.
So they had like a lot of groundwork to lay before they got to where they ultimately got to at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it should have taken half the fucking season to lay all that groundwork.
Okay.
And I feel like there were a lot of like subplots mm-hmm. that didn't really need to be there, or at the very least could have been like off screen.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy the very beginning of the season. Like, I kept watching it because I started watching it. So I'm going to finish it. I'm going to see what happens.
Sure.
It did gradually get better, but there was a lot. Like, episode 8, I'm not going to, like, really talk about what's in the episodes because I don't want to spoil anything for anybody who wants to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of what happened in episode 8 could have been part of an episode. I feel like the first 5 episodes probably could have been condensed to, like, 2 maybe 90 minute episodes.
Okay.
I was bored through a lot of it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones were just so bad that people are like pleasantly surprised by this one that it's just like, it's not awful.
Yeah.
It's decent.
From what I've heard, at least. I will be watching season two.
Okay.
With the hope that season two is more like the last few episodes of the series.
Yeah, because they've already done the boring stuff, the setup.
So it should be much better.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
You would think.
Unless they fucking fumble that shit like they did the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones. It's completely different showrunners.
It's different writers, yeah, and directors and everything. So I have more hope for it. But yeah. Now that it's out all the way, I'll probably watch it.
You might want to wait because apparently the next season isn't going to be out for like two fucking years.
Ooh, that's a good point. I might wait. I'm also watching Sandman, which is awesome. If anybody's a Neil Gaiman fan or has read any of the comics.
I haven't, but I have heard that Sandman is good.
It's really
good. If you're a fan of Sandman.
Yeah, I think people will be pleased with it. I'm not done yet, but I'm also like over halfway, I think. So really good so far. Great visuals and everything. I know they've been trying to make this show for like years and years. So yeah, I'm glad it kind of finally happened. But yeah, it's really good. I mean, there's just like so much shit to watch that I'm not particularly worried about watching House of the Dragon anytime soon.
Especially since the new season won't be out until 2024.
Yeah, I've got time. So
that shit drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I hate having to wait so long between seasons.
It's like Witcher. Is that coming this year or is it next year?
Summer 2023, I believe.
Ah, shit. Okay, so we still got a while. Whatever. This has been A Bitch and a Witch.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us in this very rambly episode of A Bitch and a Witch.
Yeah, we figured.
We knew that it would be like this. This is our first episode recording in months. So
yeah.
We missed you guys.
We did. I really did miss having an outlet. And also, like, I just haven't seen Sam a whole lot lately, which has been weird.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the last time you saw me was when I dropped off your car.
It probably was.
That is the last time I remember seeing you.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Weird.
I know.
So hopefully we'll be back before...
Don't worry, guys. We text each other every day.
We do still talk every day.
Still talk every day. We just haven't seen each other.
That hasn't changed.
It's been a hectic year.
Yeah.
But hopefully we will be back on a regular recording and uploading schedule, which I already kind of fucked up because...
Yeah, so...
We're working on it.
We're working on it. We'll be back. Thank you again. Thank you to everybody who has, like, continued to listen, even though we haven't been putting out new shit. Yeah. I don't really know how that happened, but it did, so that's cool. I appreciate you guys. Hopefully you enjoy these newer episodes that we didn't record 6 months ago. And, yeah, we'll keep going.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We will.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on social media. We love you. Bye!
Bye!